Good morning, Townsend Church. Happy Sunday to you. We are glad that you're here, and we look forward to the next few Sundays of being able to meet face-to-face, mask-to-mask, whatever it's going to look like. But we're excited to be back in the building. But just so you know, in case you're wondering, we're going to continue to do the online messages and continue to record those and make sure that they are available to anyone that wasn't able to make it. So don't think because we're reopening or regathering in the church, that we're not going to have the videos, because we still are. Hey, before we get into today's sermon, let's pray, because today's sermon is I hope it's going to be a good one. It's going to challenge our thinking about a few things and hopefully propel us in a direction that will strengthen our faith and make us more like Christ in the way that we need to be. So let's pray. God, thank you first and foremost for your faithfulness to who you are and not to who we want you to be. Thank you for remaining strong as we push against you and we beg you for things that we think we need, but you know we don't. Thank you for your faithfulness of remaining true to your promises. And God, as we think through and read through your scripture today, I pray that you would reveal to us where we need to change, where we need to strengthen some areas of our Christian walk, where we need to just maybe live differently. Maybe we'll be encouraged in a big way, but maybe we'll be challenged in that same way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you're sitting there with yourself or your family or your friends or whoever you've gathered with, I want you to think about this question. What are some things in our life that are constant, or that we could say are faithful? Like, we know that it's going to happen. What are some constant things? Some things that I thought of, and if you want to maybe pause the video right now and talk about that, that's okay, but here are some things that I thought of. I thought about the sunrise and the sunset. That's a constant. The sun doesn't take a day off. Now, granted, the sun may rise or set in a very clouded sky, and we may never see it. However, it still rises and it still sets. I think about the moon and the stars. There are days where we get to see the moon and the stars, nights where we get to see the moon and the stars, and nights where we don't. But we know that they're still there. And sadly, another constant and something that is always faithful is death. We know we all are going to meet it. It's all going to happen. And there are other things that are constant in our lives that we can say, yeah, that's a faithful thing. That is faithful. It's true. It's trustworthy. I can have confidence in that. And then think about this. What are some unconstant things? What are some things that we can't really rely on too much because they've either failed us in the past or they'll probably fail us in the future? I mean, I think about cars. As great as a thing, as a vehicle is, they're not very constant. They break down, they tear down, they wear out. People are unfaithful. They're unconstant. Like, sometimes we can't even depend on each other because of just our own personalities or our own baggage, or I just don't want to do that. Well, what about even weather? I mean, the last week has been crazy. Last couple of weeks, last couple of months have just been bizarre. And the poor weather people, like, the only thing constant is that they're probably going to miss the weather report. They're going to not hit it spot on. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. And so, not to knock on them, because I love watching the weather, but it's not very constant. It's not very faithful. And so, even to the point of who we are internally, sometimes that's not a constant. I surprise myself at my reactions, at my thinking, at my speech. Sometimes I'm not very constant. But there is something that we can rely on today, and it's kind of our main thought, and it is this. God is a faithful God no matter what. He is a constant. He is a faithful God no matter what. No matter what is happening outside in our world, no matter what war is going on inside of me, no matter whether my family is doing well or doing poor, God doesn't change in his consistency of how he works with us. God is constant. God is faithful. And it's not so much that he's faithful to how I want him to be faithful, but he's faithful to who he truly is. And that's a big thought. Because we've always heard, yeah, God is faithful, God is faithful, and we say that to each other. How far are we willing to go with that? How deep are we willing to really dig in to see how faithful God is? We absolutely bring that in and embrace that when everything is going the way we want it to go. But how about those moments in your life? And I know that they're flooding your brain right now where God wasn't faithful. And that is where it gets tricky. Because maybe God was faithful, but because of our expectations that we have placed on Him, it didn't seem like He was faithful. But God works and does things that are outside of our realm of understanding. And He uses it, if we allow it, Him to, and we look at Him as a faithful God, He can use that to make us better, to build us up, to use us in a big way down the road. And maybe we are caught in the downdraft of a bigger project that He has going on outside of our little world. There's always something, but the thing that never changes, that no matter what, no matter what happens, no matter what takes place, God is always a faithful God. Now for us, when we hear that, one of the things that comes to mind is, well, that's great. If He's a faithful God, then He's always going to make me happy, because that's what we want. We are always seeking happiness. We always want to be not just content, but overflowing with happiness and joy and with stuff. And we look for all of these things. We look for boats and cars and houses and a hole in one or money or a spouse or whatever. And we look for these things to bring us happiness. But every one of those things are nowhere near as faithful as our God. You know that. You have bought that thing and it did not bring you lasting happiness the way that God can. And so let's talk about what faithfulness looks like, because we all want happiness. We all want inner joy. But if we are looking for it in worldly stuff, it's going to let us down. So we need to change our perspective to find true joy and happiness in a faithful God. And that requires us to do a few things. So let's look at faithful. Faithful, the definition is this: it's true, it's trustworthy in the performance of duty. Now, God is absolutely trustworthy. If we believe that God is who He is, when He says, if you place your faith in My Son, in His death, burial, and resurrection, and receive forgiveness for your sins by the shedding of His blood, you will have eternal life. Meaning, we can bank on the faithfulness of God because of all of the other promises in Scripture that we read about that He was faithful in. We can bank in the New Testament when we read that it's going to happen. Why? Because God has been faithful throughout all of this. God has been faithful of promising, of watching over His people, of creating a way out, of bringing rule and order spiritually to the world. When Jesus came, that is exactly what God has done. And Jesus even remained faithful as the embodiment of God in the flesh, the living, breathing Word of God living out this life in front of us. He remained true and trustworthy as He carried out the performance of what He was sent to do, even to the death on the cross. Wow. But here's the next one that I really like. It's worthy of belief or confidence. God is worthy of our trust and our faith in Him. God is worthy of our confidence in Him. Jesus was worthy of the belief and confidence. Think about the disciples. They never hesitated one time when He said, hey, follow Me. Boom, they were in. Other people, same way. Some people denied it and just walked away. Some people came with their expectations of having their own needs met and just getting fulfilled that way. But they never went deep to see how faithful God truly was. And so as we look through all this, the one thing that we can always bank on, the one thing that we can always know is that there is one who is perfectly faithful. There is one who is perfectly faithful, and that is God. In fact, when we go back to the Old Testament, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and He's sharing with them all of these things that He's going to do. And here's a portion of what He says specifically to them, but it gives us a picture, an understanding of who He is as He reveals Himself to the children of Israel. Excuse me. Breathe in on that one. That we can bank on for our own lives. Here's what He says. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God. the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. He is speaking to the children of Israel, but he says, for these generations that come after you, for thousands of generations that come after you, for those that will love me and keep my commandments, that's who I'll be faithful to. I'm going to be faithful no matter what. But those that follow me and love me and keep my commandments will experience my faithfulness in a bigger, deeper way. That's what God said to the children of Israel. And now, thousands of years later, we have morphed that thinking of faithfulness into what we want it to be. And here are three things that we've kind of turned it into. We've turned faithfulness into more of an added feature rather than a part of the base model. Now, when I'm using the reference of a car. When you buy a car, there's a base model and you get what you get. And we are so unsatisfied with that, that rarely do we buy base models anymore. We go for the upgraded features. And that is how we have treated faithfulness, the faithfulness of God, or us being faithful. We are not faithful people. We don't treat faithfulness very high on the priority list anymore. Well, we want everybody else to be faithful, but we can break it. And we treat it as an added bonus, as an added feature, as an upgrade to a base model, when really, faithfulness should be to the core of who we are. It's about loyalty. It's about being trustworthy. It's about trusting and having confidence in other people. It's not an added bonus. It should be a part of our base of who we truly are deep down. Another misnomer is this, that faithfulness is not necessary to get what I want. I don't have to remain faithful in order to get what I want. I can lie, I can cheat, I can steal, I can be devious, I can be deceitful. I can do whatever is necessary to get what I want, rather than practicing faithfulness, being trustworthy, being confident, or being people having confidence in, when I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I can just live however I want to live and be shifty in this and get what I want. That's a problem. This is where our world is. In fact, here's a third one. Faithfulness is actually penalized while unfaithfulness is celebrated. You think about that. The people who live their lives faithful to who they are to the core, meaning Christians, meaning people who do what is right, who aren't willing to lie, cheat, and steal, or do whatever is necessary to get what they want. People that are faithful, they are penalized because those that are unfaithful are the ones that are celebrated. Because it's about stuff. It's about rising above. It's about crushing the person beneath me. That's not what faithfulness is all about. That is not what God does. The problem with this is this thought. Jesus was faithful to fulfill God's plan, and it cost him his life. We don't want to think about that. We want to think about faithfulness of God and our faithfulness to him as, we know God is faithful, and is when we are faithful to him, then he gives us all kinds of blessings. God just makes everything easier. Well, Jesus was the fulfillment of God's plan. And the fulfillment of God's plan was that the final sacrifice be made. That final sacrifice to end all of the Old Testament sacrifices to be made to secure the opportunity for all to come to know God in a relationship through Jesus Christ, to have the opportunity for eternal life. In fact, we see that in John 17. Jesus, in his prayer before he goes to be killed or to give his life, there are three sections to that prayer that we see in John 17 that he prays for himself first. It's kind of like, Lord, I know, Father, I know that I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrifice, and give me strength to make it through, and use this time, use what I'm going to do to glorify yourself. He's praying for himself in reference to the Old Testament. And then he prays for his disciples. God, watch over them. You have blessed me with them. They are yours because you've given them to me, and I'm giving them back, but I need you to watch over them because they are the fulfillment of this New Testament. They're the ones going out to spread the gospel. They are setting the world on fire with the message that they have. And then he prays for us. He prays for the believers that are going to come. He prays specifically for us. This is the new covenant. This is the old covenant was the Old Testament that he had with the children of Israel. And now Jesus has expanded it to everyone, anyone that will follow and trust him. That is what we're talking about. Jesus fulfilled this plan and he was faithful to the point of death, which means we may have to suffer. The Old Testament is full of teachings that it's going to be hard. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us that, yeah, there was some cool stuff of the faithfulness of the old Bible stories like Abraham and Moses and Sarah and all of them. But then he concludes that chapter with, but there are others that aren't listed that suffered great things. They were tortured for their faith. That doesn't sound fun to me. It doesn't sound very intriguing that if I remain faithful to a faithful God that I may suffer. And that is the conundrum that we find ourselves in. We want the good stuff. We want the happy stuff. But folks, Jesus said it best. In this world, you will have trouble. Do I believe that God can snap his fingers, say a word, and all of this stuff go away, and we're back in our church, and it's back to normal? Yes, I do. Do I believe that that's going to happen? No, I do not. I believe we are called to figure out how to readjust to a faithful God who will remain faithful no matter what is going on right now. And it's not just about COVID. Our world is heading south quickly. Not just our nation, but our world. And what are we going to do? Are we going to step back and say, well, we can't do that? No, we have to adjust to remain faithful to a faithful God because his faithfulness is not going to change. Therefore, ours should not. We've got to pivot. We've got to figure it out. We've got to go with what he sends our way in order to leverage his glory. Jesus was faithful all the way. And with his faithfulness, we may not get what we want. Jesus prayed, Father, if there's another way, I'm down for that. But if there's not, I will do what you've asked me to do. And it cost him his life. And honestly, life's just going to be unfair. So what do we do with that? Well, here's my solution. We respond by being faithful. We respond to a faithful God by being faithful to him. We don't respond by saying, okay, God, you got to do it how I want you to do it. I think you should do it this way, God. I think you should switch things up and this. God, this is how you want to do it. I think we could do it this way, but if this is how you want to do it, I'm sticking with you because you were faithful. That is how we respond to a faithful God, by being faithful to him. Here are three things that I want you to think about. Number one is this. Our faithfulness doesn't change God's faithfulness. Now, that seems kind of tricky, but I want you to think about this. Whether I'm faithful to him or not does not change who God is. Now, it may change how he interacts with me, but it doesn't change his faithfulness to who he truly is to the core. Look at this passage in 2 Timothy. As we think about how our faithfulness doesn't change God's faithfulness, here's what Paul says to 2 Timothy. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So there's some cool stuff. If we die with him, meaning if I deny myself, I lay my old self down, and I pick up the cross and go with him, that even though my old self is dead, my new self is alive in Christ. That's what that's talking about. If we endure, meaning if we stay true to this, if we stay true to keeping ourselves in the grave, the old self is dead, and we are carrying this new life in Christ. And if we endure to the end with that, then I will reign with him, meaning I will have eternal life. There's a progression here that I've got to stay with this. But watch with this. If I deny him, then he'll deny me. That's tough. If I walk away and be done with all this, he's just going to say, okay, that's your choice. I never knew you. Watch this. If we are faithless, if we just give up and we don't believe and we aren't trusting in him, we have no confidence in him. If our faith is gone, if we are faithless, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful. I love that. So no matter what, where I'm at, doesn't change who he is. That is a big thought. We think that we can manipulate God and change God's mind and do. Stop that. God is faithful. He is true to who he is, and he is strong and confident, and we should be faithful to him because he is already faithful. He's already been faithful. He stayed true to his word. He remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. He is who he is, and he is faithful to the core. So again, the first thought was, our faithfulness doesn't change God's faithfulness. Here's the second one. We can be blameless because of his faithfulness. It just requires an overhaul. Now, on my own, I can't be blameless. I'm going to goof up. In fact, even in this life moving forward, I'm going to goof up. But because of the faithfulness of God and the sacrifice of Jesus and the way that they have set it up, I can go when I mess up and ask for continued forgiveness for those things that I goof up with. And God is faithful and just, not only to forgive me, but to cleanse me of the mess that I made. I love that. But it requires an overhaul. Because if I want to be blameless, I've got to allow him to do some work. And look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians. Now, in this passage, there's some things that he says above it. And here are some of the things. He says, as believers, we want to comfort the faint-hearted. We want to uphold the weak. We want to warn those who are unruly. We want to be patient with everybody around us. We want to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, giving thanks in everything. Now, that's a lot. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just above verses 23 through 24. But he goes on, he says, let's not quench the Holy Spirit. Let's not despise prophecies. Let's test all things. When you hear something, let's get into Scripture. Let's dig in and find out what it really is. And he says, hold fast to what is good and abstain from all things that are evil. Now that's what he says before we get to this passage. Then he says, now that we're doing those things, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May the God of peace sanctify you, meaning let him get in and do work in your life. Let him get in there and change things. Let him create a blameless life that he sees by ripping that stuff out and doing the things that he told us before. And he says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body, your mind, your will, your emotions, all of those things, may they be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, when he comes, because of the work that the Spirit of God does within us, we will remain blameless. Why? Because he who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. You're not faithful. We struggle with this, but the God who calls you is faithful. And when we can return that by being faithful to him the best that we can, he works in us to continue to make us better, to sanctify us, because he will do it. Here's the third thing. Our submission is God's permission to do work. I mean, if you think about this last verse, we are allowing him in our lives to sanctify us. We are allowing him in to do work within us. We are submitting to a holy God saying, I don't know how to do this. I need you. That is our permission to him to get in and do work. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, this is Paul speaking, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, figure it out. He says, I'm your pastor, I'm your preacher, but I'm not there. But here's what I want you to do. Just because I'm not there does not mean you can't remain faithful to God. Go to him, wrestle and flesh this stuff out. Figure it out. That is kind of a call to us to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing outside of Sunday worship, outside of Wednesday night Bible study, outside of our go group. We have work to do. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Get in the Scripture. Dig in here and see what it says in Romans about what it looks like to be saved. Dig through the Pauline letters of all the helps that he gives, the people that he's writing to, of what it looks like to be a Christian. Look at what he talks with Timothy. There's so much in there. Work it out. But look what it says. For it is God. It is the Spirit of God that lives within you, who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Left to your own vices, you won't be able to do it. However, when we submit to a faithful God and we return that by being faithful to him, he works within us to will and to do for his good pleasure. Our old self is dead. We have given permission by our submission to Him for Him to do work with us. Why? For His good pleasure, because He's got stuff to do. And so the question I ask is this: why is this faithfulness so important? Why is His faithfulness to us so important? Why is our faithfulness to Him so important? Well, let me offer up a suggestion. His faithfulness empowers us to be an example of what faithfulness looks like. His faithfulness, because we can see it throughout the entire collection of these books that we call the Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, we can see the entire example of God's faithfulness. And when we see that, it empowers us to say, that's what I want to be like. In fact, it's just like Jesus did. Jesus came, lived on this earth as a human being. Yes, He had His God qualities, but He was fully man as well. So He endured temptation, He endured sadness, He endured heartbreak, He endured joy, He endured pushback, He endured it all. And yet, He gave us what it looks like to be faithful to the call of God. His job was to come and to gather as many people together as He can, to find some disciples and pour into their lives, to impact people's lives, and then to take it to the cross. To die, and then to rise again in victory. Jesus showed us what faithfulness looks like. When we are faithful to God, it empowers us to do bigger and greater things than we could have ever thought. Jesus again said, if we can do it another way, He was wrestling with that. But because of His submission to God, to His Father, it gave His Father permission to do a work in the heart of Jesus, to empower Him to fulfill His faithfulness to His call. Wow. That's the God we serve. That's the faithfulness of our God that He wants to do in us, even in a time like this. So why do we do this? Why should we even consider this? Look at the rest of Philippians chapter 2. As we are able to recognize the faithfulness of God and return that with a proper response of faithfulness back to Him, here's what can happen. Paul challenges the people in Philippi because they were in a spot. And he says, here's what I want you to do. If you're truly going to allow God to do His work in you, here's what it might ask you to be like. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. I know you're reading ahead, but I want you to think about this and hear this. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless. Meaning, we want to have a testimony in our community that they don't look at us and say, well, that's just that contentious church. That's that divisive church. That's that church that's full of people that are constantly complaining and disputing about things that aren't necessary. I don't want to be that church. I will hold our ground. We will stand on the things that are right, and we will defend things that need to be defending. But in instances where it's just for the sake of disputing and whining, I don't want that. I don't want that to be known of our church. Why? Because we want to be blameless, harmless, watch this, children of God without fault. Where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Paul says, listen, this world we live in, it's contentious already. We don't want to be a part of that. It's divisive already. We don't want to be a part of that. We want to live in such a way that when people look at us, we are blameless and harmless in the midst of a crazy world. He says, among whom you shine like lights, or as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. He's saying, listen, if we're going to promote and say anything out there, it should be the word of life. It should be the offering of life to people. Our words should bring life. There are plenty of passages in James and in Ephesians that talks about the words that come out of our mouth need to be blessings and not cursings. It needs to be encouraging and uplifting and not tearing down. That is the God that we serve. That is the Jesus that modeled it for us that we have to follow. That is the example of faithfulness. Why? Because we want to be blameless and harmless as children of God in this crooked and perverse generation. Listen, our God is faithful no matter what. No matter what happens in this life, no matter what He allows us to endure, no matter what He allows us to go through, we need to accept that it doesn't change His faithfulness to us. It just means we need to adjust our perception of Him. God's always going to be faithful. Our faithlessness does not change His faithfulness to us. Our submission to Him is the opportunity for Him to do great work in our lives. And we need to get after this, folks. God is a faithful God, and we need to return to Him a faithful response. Not how we want Him to do it, but how we need to live through Him. And the only way that we can do that, the only way that we can do that, we got to know who He is. We got to work it out ourselves. We've got to be in quiet contemplation and conversation with Him always, with thanksgiving, knowing that all the things that He's doing with us is working it out for our better. God is a faithful God. We can count on Him. No matter what takes place in our world, we know that we can count on Him. Why? Because He is faithful no matter what. Let me pray for you. God, thank You for this message. Thank You for being such a faithful and amazing God. Thank You for the opportunity to get to talk about it this morning. I pray that as we continue to trudge through this new lifestyle, this new way of living, that You help us refocus and focus more on You and Your faithfulness to us. Help us to be careful to not expect You to perform or only to get good stuff from You. Help us to return Your faithfulness by being faithful to You and being good with whatever You bring into our lives. Thank You for being that faithful God. Thank You for always being that consummate example in front of us. Thank You for sending Your Son to live it out in front of us. But thank You most of all for the Spirit that You give us, that lives within us, that aids us and does the work in us when we submit and allow You to do it. God, I love You. Appreciate all that You do. May You continue to give us wisdom as we move forward. Continue to bless Your people. But Lord, remind them today and allow them to go a little bit deeper as they understand just how faithful You really are. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next Sunday.